Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. It is written, thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. It is written, they shall perish, but thou continuest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a mantle shalt thou roll them up, as a garment they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years fail thee not. It is written, are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers in the prophets by divers portions and in divers manners, hath in the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the effulgence of his glory and the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. How precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp, its precepts shine to guide our souls to heaven. It sweetly cheers our drooping hearts in this dark vale of tears. Life, light, and joy it still imparts, and quells our rising fears. This lamp, through all the tedious night of life, shall guide our way, until we behold the clearer light of that eternal day. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Hebrews chapter 1. God hath spoken. Actually, God hath spoken twice to the human race. Once in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. When God spoke to the human race, he did not unload the whole load at one time. He spake at different times and different ways. He gave a little bit here and a little bit there. When God appeared to Adam in the Garden of Eden, do you think he handed him a Bible and said, Adam, I have a present for you. Here's a copy of my Bible. You will notice that it has two testaments, an old and a new. This Bible has 66 books. It has 1,189 chapters and 31,171 verses. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the way it happened. God did not unload the whole load on Adam at one time. He spoke unto the fathers in different times and in different ways, a little here and a little there. After the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God began the account of the coming of the Redeemer. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter, God announced to the devil, because thou hast done this thing, I will put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Then, almost 2,000 years later, God spoke again, this time to Abraham in Genesis 22. After trying Abraham's faith in the offering up of Isaac as a burnt offering, God said, in thy seed shall all the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Then about 200 years after that, God spoke on this matter again when Jacob gave his dying blessing to his 12 sons. Concerning Judah, he said in Genesis 49, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Then, in about 200 years after this, in Deuteronomy 16, God told Moses, "I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren like unto you, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall hearken not to that prophet shall be cut off from among the people." Then it was about 1,000 years later that David said in Psalms 110, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet." 300 years after that, in Isaiah 7, Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel." This was fulfilled in Matthew and Luke. A short time after this, the prophet Micah said in chapter 5 of his prophecy, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least in the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a governor, who shall be shepherd of my people Israel." It was about 300 years after that, in the 9th chapter of Zechariah, the prophet said, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, a foal of an ass." A short 100 years later, Malachi, the last of the Old Testament books, reveals the arrival of the forerunner of Jesus in Malachi chapter 3, when he said, "Behold, I will send forth my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before thee." This was fulfilled in John chapter 1. "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." At long last, the Redeemer had arrived, and Peter reminds us in Acts chapter 2 how he identified himself by signs and wonders and was rejected by lawless men, crucified, and arose from the dead. Then after his ascension to heaven on the day of Pentecost, that gospel was proclaimed, and those who believed were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a long way from Genesis 3:15 to Acts chapter 2:38, when the Redeemer finally had arrived. But God also spoke in different ways. One time he spoke through, example, the handwriting on the wall. At this point, Daniel the prophet came in and preached a sermon that was really right off the wall. On another occasion, God spoke in dreams, different prophets. The prophecy of young Samuel is an example. God said to him in a dream, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel did not understand it was the Lord. The Lord said again, "Samuel, Samuel." And again, he did not understand. The third time God said, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Ladies and gentlemen, if some today thought they heard the voice of God, they would say, "Listen, Lord, our preacher speaketh." Times have changed. Then there was one time when God spake to a man by the voice of a donkey. Balaam was riding his donkey along on a mission where he had no business going. An angel stood in the way with a drawn sword. Balaam did not see the angel, but the donkey did. The donkey ran off in the field to escape being killed by the sword. Balaam whacked him one real good and got him back on track. Next time the donkey ducked the avenging sword of the angel and ran off into a wall and crushed Balaam's foot. Again, Balaam whacked him and got him back on track. The third time, the donkey just hunched down, and after the third whack, the donkey looked back over his shoulder and asked Balaam why he had been hit three times. The donkey told Balaam he had always done a good job before. He could not understand such behavior from his master. At that moment, Balaam saw the angel too. Some folk don't believe a donkey could talk. I don't know why. A donkey has a tongue, teeth, mouth, and lungs. A greater miracle is the fact that you are listening to me right now from a thin metal disc a few inches wide. So what's the big deal about a donkey talking? I have heard the braying of a donkey many times. Every time I hear some liberal theologian, some liberal preacher contradict the Word of God and say something about how God's plan of salvation doesn't work, I hear the braying of a donkey. Hee-haw, 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 hee-haw. In the book of 1 Kings, another example of God speaking was to Elijah in a still, small voice. But when he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, there was a sound of a trumpet, and his voice shook the mountain. It wasn't until Jesus died on the cross and arose from the dead and ascended to heaven that the Apostle Paul could say, "All Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work." The Word of God is now complete. God has no further instruction for the human race. Peter tells us that God's divine grace has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can be added to the revealed will of God for fallen man. God hath spoken. Actually, the Bible is the only Holy Spirit revelation inspired of God on the face of this earth. Paul said in Galatians 1, "If any man preach any other gospel than that which ye have proclaimed unto you, let him be accursed." He said not only any man, but even if an angel preach any other message, he would be damned also. God has made it plain. There is no other revelation from God. Now, what did God have to say in Hebrews chapter 1? Well, for one thing, he talked about the origin of the human race. In the fifth verse of this chapter, Hebrews 1, the Father said of Jesus, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." In the next chapter, speaking of the birth of Jesus, it is said Jesus was made a little lower than the angels and crowned with glory and honor. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was not made a little lower than the human race. If he had been, he would have been an animal. Jesus was not an animal. And I'm not an animal either. People are concerned about life in outer space. While I do not know anything about who or what is out there, I know it is not superior to us, because we are just a little lower than the angels. And you don't get any higher on the creation hog than that. We are it. Man is the biggest thing in the cosmos. Now, I have not come to debate that or argue about it. I am here to simply announce it. God hath spoken. Sometimes through the years, my faith has been shaken. I saw a beautiful Buick convertible back in the 50s on a downtown street in Cincinnati, Ohio. The top was down. As I came up from behind, I saw a young couple with their backs to me, and they seemed to be talking to what appeared to be an infant on a car seat between them. I heard the man say something like, "Itchy-kitchy-coo, Papa's little baby." And then the woman said, "Itchy-kitchy-coo, Mama's little baby." As I passed by, I turned around to see this marvelous sight. And there, hanging between them on the car seat, was a monkey. I thought to myself, maybe there is something to this evolution thing. We have come this far, and now we are starting back in the opposite direction. Some may think they are descended from a blue-blooded baboon. But I am a direct descendant of old Daddy Adam, who never had a belly button unless God put one on him for style. God hath spoken unto us in these last days. Well, what else did God have to say in Hebrews chapter 1? He had something to say about his hatred of sin. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. God hates sin, and he has good reason for it because of the big game going on in your life. The big game is not the winner of the two teams in the Super Bowl. The big game is not the winner of the two teams in the World Series. The big game is not the winner of the next heavyweight fight. The big game is the winner of the game that many are playing at this moment. Jesus tells us about that game in Matthew 6:24 in the Sermon on the Mount. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. There is no such thing as a tie score, no such thing as a draw. You cannot have it both ways. You either win or lose, and the choice is yours. No wonder God says he loves righteousness and hates iniquity. God has spoken unto us in these last days. Now, what else did God have to say in Hebrews chapter 1? Well, he speaks of the windup of human affairs. Speaking of the universe, God says, "The heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou continuest. They shall wax old as doth a garment. They shall be rolled up as a mantle and changed as a garment." The message of God in Hebrews chapter 1 informs us this world is on its way to an end. And Peter, in the 3rd chapter of his 2nd epistle, tells us how it will happen when he says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the things that are therein will be burned up." From these words of the inspired apostle of Jesus, it appears in this world we are sitting on a powder keg that could blow any time. Personally, I'm not concerned about that day, because I know where I will be when she blows. I have the hope of meeting Jesus in the air. There have been a lot of great meetings in the history of the Lord's work. It would have been great to have been present at that great meeting on the day of Pentecost, when the church was born and the terms of pardon were sounded out like a trumpet, and 3,000 were added that day. It is always a great meeting when millions of the body of Christ assemble for the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. But the greatest meeting of all will be that day when the Lord comes. And what a meeting that will be! Those who miss that meeting will miss it all. Listen to Peter as he continues his message in that chapter of his epistle. "Seeing that these things are thus to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Since Peter said, desire the coming of the day of the Lord, and Paul said, look for it, and John said, pray for it, should we not also feel the same as Christians about this powder keg we live on? O Lord, let her blow! The hope of the Christian is to say to each other, see you later, here, there, or in the air. Now, what else did the Lord have to say in Hebrews chapter 1? He had something to say about ministering angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? These ministering angels were all created. Paul tells us in Colossians 1:16, in him were all things created in heaven and upon the earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. The angelic population of heaven must be greater than the population of humans on earth, because in Hebrews 12 they are referred to as an innumerable host of angels. Angels minister to God's people today. We cannot see them at this time because we walk by faith and not by sight. They are ministering spirits. You cannot see a spirit. How many ways they have worked in our lives, we will not know until we reach the other side of the mystic river. There are some ways that we are told where they do minister to us many times, and we knew it not. One way is at the time of the death of a Christian. Jesus told the story of a man named Lazarus, who at death was carried away by the angels into paradise. What a great thought! Those glorious creatures surrounding the deathbed of the Christian at the ready to escort him safely through the enemy lines in the air to the Father's house. The gospel song says it well for us. O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day! Ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. It's hard to understand some people. In 1988, I was in the airport at Norfolk, Virginia. As I walked through the concourse, I saw a display on outer space, and a sign proclaimed the message: mankind must go to Mars before the year 2030. A lady called to me, sir, are you interested in outer space? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, take some of these books and learn all about it. I said, well, your books don't really have the answer. You are not going far enough. You are only going to Mars. I want to go all the way to heaven. I took out my New Testament and said, I have all the information here in this book. Do you want to go? She laughed and said, no. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't get it. She wanted me to go to Mars, but she was not interested in going to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, when I go to heaven, I have a straight-through flight from earth to heaven, bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I go, I have made no plans to stop off on Mars first on the way through. All aboard! Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.